is provide some actual possible answers to some actual real questions. So I did that section on answering hard questions. We'll do a little bit more of that next month. The third goal I want you to get to move towards, which I don't think we can do very much here, honestly. I'm just going to introduce the idea, and you have to do this, which is how to actually find answers. Okay? And like I said, one way you can find answers is to have them spoon-fed to you. You just go to my website, but that's a little bit exaggerated because it's not just spoon-feeding. You go there and you read it and you hopefully think about it. You know what I'm saying? And possibly, maybe even in, you know, going to my website or others, maybe find some examples of how to form answers that kind of fit what I'm talking about here. All right? And then there's the bad news that it's going to take work over time that you're going to have to do. But, you know, I've been a Christian for about 45 years and, you know, I've struggled through a few questions myself. All right, so I talked about keeping a running list, seeking answers over time, being able to do the work. I want to talk about these next points here. Know how to do good research and define good sources. So let's just have a brief discussion of that. How do you tell a good source from a not good source? Because there's a lot of crap out there online. A lot of it written by believers. A lot of it written by Christians. There's a lot of Christian junk out there. So, y'all are college students or post-college. Well, we have one person who's neither, but he's a real smart guy, I can tell. I'm talking to him, okay. So, how do you tell a good source? Yeah.
I mean, usually you want to cross-reference with other sources as well, just to see if there's consistency.
All right. Read others and, okay, good. Okay, yeah, possibly asking maybe what their education was, okay? All right, look for credentials. Now, just because they have letters after their name, and by the way, I have occasionally literally tried to find out what college, you know, I've in some cases, I literally checked the person out there. Okay, good. All right. Yes.
When you say source, do you mean like a person or like, I don't know,
Google? Well, I mean, the bottom line is a question comes to you. You got a few things you can do. You can go to Kenny. You can go to Joe. You can go to some random disciple that's just around, you know. You can ask there, but one thing I do is I do a little research.
Right.
All right, I don't just come up with an answer off the top of my head. All right, and so quite often I'll actually start checking around. And I don't know about you, I actually type into Google sometimes, and I even go to Wikipedia. All right, so the question is, how do you know that what you're reading is something that's even worth reading? This is something you have to learn how to do.
Right.
Okay? You all learn how to do. Yeah.
I always check their personal life and their religious affiliations of whoever the author is, so then I know their presuppositions. Are they Catholic? Are they Lutheran? Are they agnostic? Like the woman that Kenny shared is Jewish, Talmud, or what's her name?
Shalom.
Yeah, I can't remember who she was. They copy her own work here. But I had to look it up. I was like, wait, what am I learning here? Her name was Newsbaum.
That kind of gives right Newsbaum. You know, maybe.
Later in life, so it's not, yeah, not from her name, but I think that's important to know the presuppositions of where they're coming from. You know, because that will lead into where their answers go.
Right. That took me to my next slide, actually, the very last point I was going to make. Oh. But since you brought us there, I'm going to go there. But we'll come back to where we were. Is ask yourself, what are they assuming? All right, we had a discussion just the other day about, you know, Daniel, when it was written, all that kind of stuff. And there's this scholarly consensus that Daniel was written after 164 BC because the prophecy concerning things that happened between 167 and 164 BC. But you have to ask yourself, what's the presupposition? If the person is assuming the Bible cannot be inspired by God, then obviously they've already decided it was written after the event. And if they've already decided it's written after the event, then what do you want to do about their supposed discovery of the information that led to the conclusion it was written after the event? Right. It's garbage. Presuppositions. By the way, and again, like Chris said, we should just not, we don't dismiss somebody because of their presupposition. We just look at their presupposition. So you're reading something by a Calvinist. That colors everything they say and how they say it and why they say it. But I read stuff by Calvinists and I learn from Calvinists and et cetera. All right? At Catholics, Kenny's been using a lot of Catholic sources, honestly, because the Catholic Church as a whole does much better on spiritual exercises and spiritual formation than we do. So why not? But when you're looking at John of the Cross, the dude was a Catholic, and he was a mystic, and you have to look, he's looking at the world from a mystical perspective, which may not necessarily be not necessarily a biblical perspective. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, one of his good friends there. And then even Ignatius Loyola, who was fighting against, he was an anti-Calvinist. He was a devoted anti-Calvinist. All right? And so, again, being aware of that worldview, because the bottom line is everybody has presuppositions. Okay? And as you're reading somebody, just ask some fairly simple questions. What are their presuppositions? All right? Like I like to say, when we have debates over things related to the inspiration of the Bible, I have a presupposition. People claim that this is an error in the Bible or this is an inconsistency, my presupposition is the Bible's inspired by God. Two things. Number one, I'd like to think I'm aware of that, and I take that into account. And number two, it happens to be true. If you carry a correct presupposition into a question, it might actually improve your ability to have the right conclusion, you know what I'm saying? And so, if you're hearing, maybe it's a Hindu or whatever. So be aware of their presuppositions so that you can, have a reasonable reflection on what things they're saying you might want to listen to and what things they're saying you might want to take with a huge grain of salt. Okay, let's go back. We're still back on this question, though. How do we do good research and how do we find good sources? Great advice, Chris. Any other thoughts? Yes, Chloe.
Your sources.
Okay. Yeah, maybe they list some references and where are they looking? Good. Well, I think some of these other points might relate to how you know you have a good source. Learn how to detect good answers from rhetoric, weak arguments, and misinformation. Okay? What's rhetoric? Well, there's the Latin rhetoric, but what's rhetoric? Oh, it's just slogans. People throw slogans at you. Learn to detect when somebody, sometimes people will just, I get questions all the time. Some people will just say something. They'll just say something as if it were true. And that's their entire argument. They just say something. Alright, but when somebody just says something, what's that worth? It's worth nothing. So you have to look at their argument, the reasoning. Joe, what were you gonna add?
clickbait is a way to pull you in by a slogan, and next thing you know, you're hooked, and you take that source, you know, hook, line, and sinker, but you don't know the other side of the story. You don't even know the facts. Back in the 90s, early 90s, there was a sister, and we were in Boston, and basically she disappeared, and there was a big article by the Boston Globe. What it said was, they found her in the trunk of a car. She was murdered. And the article was it her boyfriend or her church? That's what was that was published. And of course it was not the church, but did they ever undo any of that
No.
stuff? Of course not. They just publish things, and we can get swayed very easily if we don't consider the source. And now we have the internet, which there's a lot of amazing resources, but there's also a downside.
Right. And so even just last week, this person was making the statement that something, I can't even remember right now, something in the Bible is borrowed from Zoroastrianism. I don't even know what Zoroastrianism is. And what I noticed is this person provided no evidence whatsoever. They didn't get the quote it came from. They gave me absolutely nothing. So what should I do with that? This is rhetoric. Got it. So learn to do that. Another thing is, look for alternative answers in the source. In other words, if somebody's giving an answer, say, by the way, these are some other answers people have given. If people are offering other possible answers to the question, that's excellent sign. If you see that, if you see somebody spinning other possible answers to that question, that's a really good sign that it's a good source. Got it? And learn to look for that. Learn to look. Are they providing alternative possible answers to this question? And if they're not, okay. And by the way, wasn't that part of the method I gave you, right? Give them more than one, right. So just do that, okay. Ask whether this answer would help hold up to questioning from a critic. Right? Cause I see so many answers thrown out, you know, that it's like, it sounds great, unless anybody doesn't agree with it would look at it and they go, you know, that doesn't hold up at all. All right. And so I see a lot of stuff from Muslims who say these things about the Bible, and it works if you have a bunch of Muslims in the room. They totally agree with that. We all agree with that. But that's true. Christians sometimes provide answers that it sounds great if you got a bunch of Christians in the room. But please, in your mind, imagine the critic. What would they say to this? If you don't ask what the critic would say to this, it's not a very good answer. All right? And so learn how to do that. I taught a class. It was a science class, but we talked about science and religion, and it was co-taught, and my partner teacher was an atheist. And so we would discuss science and religion, and we would do mock debates in front of the class. But he would do is he would take the part of the believer, and I would take the part of the atheist. Okay? That's a good practice. Alright, ask why somebody might think differently, put yourself in their shoes. This really relates to the worldview thing. When you're providing an answer, ask how somebody from an atheist perspective, ask how somebody from a Muslim perspective or whatever, ask how they would view this answer and what might hold up for them. Got it? Any thoughts, questions, or comments? Because I want to do one more exercise, and after this exercise, you're going to be, by the way, I'm teaching from Exodus, starting a series from Exodus tomorrow, and what's the theme of Exodus? What did Moses say to Pharaoh? Alright, so we're going to let our people go. Any questions or thoughts before we do our next exercise? Okay, our next exercise is going to be a repeat of what we did before. Alright, remember our strategies there? Alright, so let's form in groups of about four. And do we have enough people online for them to do a thing? Michaela,
is
there?
That's okay. There's two of them, so that's enough.
All right, I don't know. What do I do? This? Or? You'll help them. Okay, great. Form groups of roughly four, and I'm going to hand out your question you're going to do, okay? So we're going to do one more of these. Somebody's going to pretend that they're the question asker. Remember that? Right? And the other three are going to be the answer providers. Got it? And the question asker is going to play that role. We have two people. You all need two more people. Oh, did they just get two more people? Then you can get started. In fact, you can pick. Pick.
Oh, we picked the first group.
Yeah, you're the first group that's ready.
Oh.
All right. Quick though, because I'm going. Just you might have to pick random because they're ready. They're ready over there. All right, good.
Oh, was Jesus black? That's funny.
All right, you like that one? Okay, you got it.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
Okay, are you guys ready? Do you have a group? Five is okay. No, okay, here's a group. All right. Is it sinful to be gay? Does God, if God knows what we're thinking, why does he ask us to pray? How do I refute the Hindu doctrine of reincarnation? Why do Christians not believe in evolution? The Bible is... Huh? All right, good. So you can be... I'll give you one. All right, I'm going to choose now. All right. Do you have one more group over here? Or are you all? Is that for the online people? All right, good. Are you all doing this exercise? No? Okay, now here's the exercise. Have you picked your question asker? Have you picked your question asker? Okay. That person's gonna play the role. You can play that role as a fairly skeptical person or as a seriously, you know, wanting to learn person. It's up to you. So they're gonna ask you follow-up questions to make sure they understand what you're really asking, not what you're asking, but what you're really asking. All right. And you're going to ask them to share their own thoughts, what they think the answer is to that question. Ask them what they think the answer is. And then ask thought-provoking questions to lead them in a direction. By the way, all these are on your handout, right?
Yeah.
All the strategies are there. And then you're going to offer at least one, you're going to offer at least two possible answers, right? Et cetera. I'll stop talking. Nobody's listening to me anyway, so.
Wait,